Hi, Nigel Levy here, and this is the DocFix Documentary Storytelling Podcast. This episode is a little different, as it's a conversation between me and one of my students who's part of the DocFix program, James. James's background is in drama, and he came to me to create his first feature-length documentary about the legendary actress Geraldine Page. It's also worth noting that his day job is with the marketing department of Lionsgate Films, one of the biggest production companies in the US, who make blockbuster franchises as well as smaller or indie films. Because of his background, James knows that the success of his documentary will ultimately come down to the storytelling. And in our conversation, we cover his experience in the program and topics that I've discussed in other podcasts and in my writing, but as a conversation, so we take it in a few different directions. Please subscribe if you want to know when the next episode of the podcast emerges. And if you'd like to work with me yourself or find out more about me, or indeed get your hands on some useful information, go to apply.thedocfix.com. That's apply.thedocfix.com. And of course, there are more details in the show notes. Now, here's my conversation with James. What's interesting is you are a first-time filmmaker, aren't you? Even though you're in the film business. Mm-hmm. So how far have you come as a first-time filmmaker? That's an interesting journey, isn't it? Because you came to me and you actually haven't done it before, have you?
Not a documentary. And that's a different beast. And it's in what you said in the very beginning that resonated with me was that you have to find the meaning of the story. And that is the core of the whole thing. And I just started going out and shooting things and finding things and getting all these materials, but it doesn't really add up to anything if you don't have the story completely on an iron grid. Like, it's like really tight. Otherwise, if that foundation is not strong, the whole thing is going to collapse. It's not going to work. It's not going to hold it. And then you got to really carefully curate what you're going to tell and why and what's the meaning behind it. Otherwise, it's just like you said, it's going to become a Wikipedia page. No one's engaged. And at the end of the day, they're going, I know nothing about her still. I watched all this stuff and I don't know what any of it means. So that's why I think the story is king. And that's the whole reason why I came here, because like I would have thrown everything in the kitchen sink into this thing and it wouldn't add up to anything. So yeah.
Right. You actually went to film school, though, didn't you? Because I didn't realize.
I did. Oh, yeah.
So what was your training before this, then?
I did go to film school. I went to UCLA Film School. I got my master's degree there. And then before that, I was in New York. I was born and raised in New York, and I went to a four-year college here. I did a minor in film. But prior to that, it was all theater. And that's how I got to know who Geraldine Page was. And I studied at the Actors Studio with Lee Strasberg and all that. So she was in her name was always in the hallowed halls there about who's, that's how this all came about.
But it didn't give you what you needed to become a documentary maker, the storytelling skill. That's interesting, isn't it? That there is a kind of difference.
There is a difference.
Can you explain that? Because I think that's fascinating, because people see dramatizing something as consistent across fiction and fact. But there is a fundamental difference, because you've been schooled in the fiction area of dramatizing things, but it wasn't working for you in documentary, was it?
No, because the fundamental difference is that when you're doing a narrative film or a narrative television show, you can create the drama. You could sit there and you can create your whole world right on a page, on a script. But when you're telling someone's story or an event or something, you have to start mining things and finding things and then build it. And then you have to compose it in a way that has a meaning. That's different. It's harder to do that because you're going, do you have that piece of footage? Do you have that interview? Do you have that audio tape? And then if you don't, then what is that? Then what do you, then how does that impact the story? And all of these things come into play. It's as if, I think we talked about this before, it's like having a dossier and you put it on your table and you got all these things, but it's like, how are you going to arrange this so that it all is going to present a cohesive story? It's how you're authoring it, how you're structuring it, is critical to how successful you're going to be in telling a documentary story as opposed to a narrative story. I have seen some things, elements of storytelling that cross over. Like I use that terminology of hero's journey, things like the inciting incident. There is some crossover, but you're dealing with real life and real events and real people. Is it, even though you're showing us how to put this all together, the other part of it is you're saying you have to trust your instincts, because your instincts, if that little voice inside of you is telling you, what about this? Then it might lead you somewhere that you didn't think about. So that's what it does. I just don't know how you can, unless you've really done this for many years and had that experience, I don't know how you can go forward without it. Otherwise, you're not building your house on a strong foundation. I secretly denied that I didn't really have a handle on the story. And I didn't have anything or anywhere to go to practice it, to examine it, to explore it, to ask the questions, to see how it could be possibly put together. Just solely focusing on just the story. Nothing else. I felt I was circling the airport, but I never was really coming in for a landing. And so this kind of landed it. And I needed something where it was just, all I wanted to do was focus on the story elements of it. And that's what this offered. And yeah, it was worth it. And other people in this seminar have said the same thing. They just, you just got to, it's like you're trying to crack a case. You're trying to find that thing that is not there. It comes in various degrees. Like someone said to me, goes, oh, just go and take this class. This one fix was worth it. Just to get that one fix that cracked the whole thing open and fixed the whole thing. Where mine needed to be really curated and asked and say, this is this, and this is this, and this is her psychology, this is her story, and put it on very firm rails so it could ride along the rails and then get rid of everything else. Because that's going to just clutter everything up and diffuse the story and diffuse the power of the story. It was worth it. But the also, Nigel, the way you also like kept this like super chill, and it wasn't like, okay, you've been here for 12 weeks now and let's like wrap this. We'll get there when we get there. And so that I really liked. You were patient with us. And you just knew that we would get there and you would give us things to do and all that. So that I really liked about it. That's what was different from anything else, because I didn't feel like you had to hit your mark right at, I'm making this up, 12 weeks. If you took you another 4 more weeks or another 6 more weeks, you were cool with it. You were fine. You're like, just let's keep going until we get there. It showed your investment in us, not just like what we invested in the program. So that I want to say from me to you is I'm very grateful for. So,
oh, it's my absolute pleasure. It is one of the most enjoyable things I do, really, helping people. Because I want you to see yourself as a storyteller now. It's that transformation. It is life-changing in a way, I think, to suddenly see yourself in control of story like this. Because if your dream is to be a storyteller, it's like being a musician, I think, who suddenly can listen to a song and recognize the chord sequence and express themselves because they think it and they play it. I want you to have that same feeling around story, that transformation, which is huge, but it's possible.
So it's like kind of an investment that you can use in other areas as well. But I know that yours is specifically designed for documentary storytelling. So
it does have the same elements, and there are crossovers. But I just like, as you pointed out, there are unique difficulties that people don't understand about documentary. And they assume that there's something wrong with them because they can't take the techniques they read about in Robert McKee's work or something. And it's not working. I can't just impose this on the material. What you have to do is forensically examine your material and look at yourself deeply about what you want to say and why it means to you. And then from that, an analysis emerges that is very technical and very precise, but allows your instincts to flourish. One of the important things I think I want people to understand is that there's a system to it. It's not just teaching more stuff. You could go on the internet and learn 1,000 things, 1,000,000 things, and read books. Mm-hmm. But what I've tried to produce is just like it is a system. Mm-hmm. There is a process. You do this first, and then you do this. And it sounds very cold and calculating. But the end result is producing something deeply powerful, powerfully emotional for the audience. Is there a value in that simplicity? And I've tried to keep it simple.
It's funny because when I first started, I remember describing the story to you, and then you were just like kept looking down. You were just drawing or something, and then you're going, "Oh, I figure it out. It's all this is it. I got it right here." I'm like, "It's already done," because I know what your story is. So I go, "Okay, he's not obviously not going to share it with me, so I have to do it myself." But yeah,
I didn't hold it back because I didn't want to present it to you. I could have done, and we talked about it, and I did. But the point was, you have to learn.
I had to go through it myself. No, and I actually, all kidding aside, I prefer that you didn't show it to me because I knew that if you had it, great. But now let me see if I can get there too. And because then it's not, then why am I here? You could just send it to me and then we'd be done. But then I wouldn't have gained anything. There was a simplicity to it, but also too, I think I just have difficulty when I feel things are being prescribed and not letting the story find its voice organically and its own uniqueness. The only way I could say is to examine the story and just keep pressing on it until you get it clear and simple. And you can transmit your idea to the audience, what you're trying to say. It's the clarity and it's the simplification that I found really useful in this, because you just can't include everything. Like I said, it would be detrimental to the storytelling. Yeah.
I think there's people that confuse complexity with, what's the word? Sophistication. Mm-hmm. In a way, you can have a very sophisticated story that is straightforward. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people get confused and think we've got to put all these layers in, all these things in, everything needs to be in here and needs to be a rich mix. And then they get very confused about what they're actually trying to say and they can't see what to remove and what to add. But I think the great gift is to do something that's very sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got, we talked about subtext, didn't we? This was really interesting.
Yeah.
Subtext is the dream of all storytellers, isn't it? It's that mm-hmm. idea that what you're saying has so many more layers of meaning to it. Then you feel you're in the hands of a real storyteller. And where subtext comes from is a really interesting place. And to me, the approach that I mentor is that what we do is we ask those deep questions at the beginning that people don't normally ask about documentary. It's not just why you're telling this story, but deeply why. What's the moral values that you are trying to express by it? What would you want people to think about your story, about life because of this story? And various questions about the arguments you're taking and the approach and technical questions as well that require mm-hmm. thinking. You do that at the beginning, and then from that bubbles up very mm-hmm. practical things. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, quite quickly, that we talked about scenes.
Mm-hmm.
All a scene can be is just a person doing something on camera. And it, in itself, you think, how can that contain so much? But because that has emerged from these complex and sophisticated questions that I demand that you ask of yourself. And then you find yourself with just a scene that contains a multitude of meaning. And that is one of the most powerful and exciting things, I think, when you put the film together. That is why I was saying to you, now put it together. Because I think you'll begin to see these very sophisticated moments emerging from something I'll just use this interview, this bit of archive, maybe I'll shoot this if you're shooting a documentary. And it's just a very powerful moment. And you have powerful mm-hmm. moment after powerful moment of just that emerges out of those questions that I've been asking you to keep asking yourself.
Yeah, it's true. And it's like what you're saying. I think the thing that I got out of this is just a lot. But when you said, gave me the notes a couple of weeks ago saying, simplify. And sometimes, you know, it's like when you're reading poems, like they're very simple. But after you're done with it, you go, oh. And it's just minimal words, very economic, but it's saying a lot of things. Instead of packing all this stuff, and then you don't see it anymore, and you're like, what?
Complicated doesn't mean sophisticated.
That's right.
And also, like you said, there is a sophistication in simplicity.
There is.
I love those paradoxes because they appear to be paradoxes, but they're not paradoxes. It's just a more truthful understanding of reality.
This is a very specific thing. This is story, documentary storytelling. And I have told you before that I haven't found anything like this before. Mm. And I think I found you. I don't know if it was through Facebook or ID. Maybe it was something on the IDA or I can't remember what it was. And then I looked into it and then I met you when you were sitting in the editing room. Remember you were in the editing room and you seemed a little, God, Jesus, these that's the thing is like, depending on who's the player.
But you can learn that though. I want to teach you that as well, because then you'll see the film at the end and go, okay, that was worth it.
Yeah.
You get over it, you live, and you get a film out, and then you do another one.
Yeah. But it can be disheartening when you know how good it could be.
Yeah.
And then someone else has got some other, this fucked idea that they got to go in and
I love your Yiddish.
Oh. I know some, like Meshuggah.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
Shugana, Fakakta, have a happy new year, and I'll see you next week. You got it. Okay. Yeah. Bye, Nigel.
Fantastic. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with James. If you're interested in working with me at the DocFix, all the links you need are in the notes below. There's a case study you could sign up for at apply.thedocfix.com that goes into some detail on how the system has been used in some of the TV shows and documentaries I've been involved with. There's a lot of information there you'll find useful. And if you want to get in touch, you can send me an email to nigel@thedocfix.com and I'd be happy to hear from you. And as the last thing, if you're enjoying this podcast and want to support the show and help keep the podcast free and the conversations coming, you could do a number of things. One is just to share it with someone who you think would benefit from it. And number two, take some time to leave a review. If you leave a review for this show on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, it just helps the algorithm to get it in front of people who could benefit from it the most. So that's all I've got for you on today's episode. Have a good rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon.